This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
It is December the 20th of 2024, Friday morning. Currently in downtown Wausau, we have mostly cloudy skies, a little bit of parting of the skies, but 17 degrees is the temperature. The good news is there's no snow falling. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show on 1230 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The reason why I say 1230 WXCO is because currently we are having a transmitter issue at 98.9 FM. Normally we are on at 98.9 FM WXCO and on 1230 WXCO. But this morning I woke up. Well, actually, I didn't wake up because I wake up with my alarm. And normally, I don't have to use my alarm. I find I wake up on my own. But last night, I could not fall asleep. I kept on waking up. I kept on looking at my clock like every hour. I mean, it was one of those nights where I could not sleep. And then, you know, then I look at my clock and then, you know, I can go back and I sleep for a little while. And I wake up again. And then all of a sudden, I wake up and I turn and it's 20 minutes after the alarm went off and I don't hear anything. So I'm running late and I fool around with the radio and I turn up the volume and then I notice, hey, there is something there, but there's nothing coming over the airwaves.
Oh dear.
So then I get up and I start running around and getting ready for work and getting here and contacting the folks down at our Civic Media headquarters in Madison and say, hey, 98.9 is off the air. I did check 1230. 1230 is on the air. So help, because I don't know what to do. I'm not an engineer. Unfortunately, we have a lot of talented engineers, and they are working on the issue right now, and hopefully sooner rather than later, 98.9 will be back on the air. But again, I put a note just a few moments ago on my social media that we're on 1230 WXCO. Mm-hmm. We are on WXCO.fm. We are on the Civic Media app, of course. We are on mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. But so many people tune into 98.9, and all they're getting right now is dead air. Maybe some of them are saying, hey, this is the best show we've heard. But unfortunately, I hope that they're able to find us at 1230 and at our other ways of tuned in. I hope they're checking out my social media and our WXCO Facebook page, but apologize for that. And hopefully, again, this will all be settled sooner rather than later. So what a wonderful way to start our Friday morning. I was, you know, panicked and running around and trying to get going and contact our folks, and it's just a lovely way to start the day after our first significant snowstorm.
Well, it's just the end of the week, so.
Well, it doesn't do me much good until we get us on the air, so yeah. The week will never end until we're back on the air. We're gonna work on that and also do our show. Coming up in just a few minutes at 8:21, we will be joined by our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Find out exactly how much snow we received yesterday here in Wausau. Talk about the forecast heading towards the weekend, and then, of course, towards Christmas itself. Christmas Eve is on Tuesday. Christmas Day is on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And we will get all the details in case you have some travel plans with Brittany Merlot coming up at 8:21. At 8:34 this morning, we will be talking to our sports guru, Mr. Mike Clemens. We'll talk about the Bucks. They won the NBA Emirates Cup tournament in Vegas this week.
Nice.
They have a massive matchup with one of the best teams in the NBA, the Cleveland Cavaliers, tonight on the road. Badgers football team losing players in the portal. Packers and the Saints. Monday Night Football. And a whole bunch to talk about with Mike Clemens coming up at 8:34 this morning.
Absolutely.
And then in the second hour, we'll talk some more sports as we'll be joined in studio by Paul Mickleg, who is the football coach and athletic director at Newman Catholic High School. We'll talk about some of the same topics, but from his perspective. And I'm also going to set him straight because he's been getting on my case this week after the Bucks won that tournament and they won like 13 of their last 16 games. And I had mentioned earlier in the season that if the Bucks were in a rebuilding stage, if they were continuing to be mediocre or worse, that Giannis wasn't going to hang around. He's not going to hang around for a rebuilding project. He's not going to hang around to go 43-39 and get knocked out in the first round of the playoffs every year. So I said that could happen. And he did. Oh, no, Giannis is not going anywhere. Now he's saying, oh, it doesn't look like Giannis wants to go anywhere after he had this monster game in the NBA Emirates Cup championship game. I'm trying to explain to him that I did not say I was predicting he was not going to be with the Bucks next year. I'm saying if this season continued to be a disaster like it did early in the season, that Giannis was not going to stand for that. He was not going to hang around. So I'm going to try to explain to him this morning what I meant, so he can stop with the fake news, in the words of Donald Trump. I don't want him being all Trumpian on me here, so I'm going to talk to him about that coming up in the second hour of the show as well.
Should be an interesting conversation.
It should be, because he knows how to defend himself, so we'll do that coming up. And then as well, the final segment of the day, we will have our daily history lesson. We'll talk about some of the famous events that have occurred on this date in history, the 20th of December. Talk about some of the folks that are celebrating their birthdays today. Talk about some of the special events being acknowledged. And of course, we're going to see if this is a history-making day with our number for the day quiz. So not a good piece of history.
Nope.
Because we are in danger zone right now.
Oh, yes.
It's been a rough week, and it's been an interesting week because Ian is so far 0-for-4. And you have picked the middle number 3 of the 4 days. And the middle number has been the correct answer 1 of the 4 days, and it happened to be the one day you did not pick it as the correct answer.
That is right.
I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of luck involved in it. You know, it's because that's why we talk.
It really is. It's like playing the lottery.
Yeah, we talk about, you know, based on the odds, you should get 1 out of 3 right. And frankly, the odds of you getting all 4 wrong this week when you've picked the middle number 3 of the 4 days is not, it's not great odds that you would have had all 4 wrong. But you were moments away from getting Wednesday's right, and then you changed right before you said final answer, and that turned out to be a rather grave mistake. And then yesterday again, so back to the middle number, and then yesterday it was the smallest number. So where's it going to be today? I don't know yet. I don't know what the number is. I don't know what the topic is yet. But we're going to try to see if Ian can avoid a first ever bizarro world perfect week. And that's the not a perfect week correct, but a perfect week incorrect. So you're going to have to hang around, see if he can pull out the victory here to wrap up the week and go into the weekend feeling better. So we'll have that coming up at about 9:55, 9:56 this morning.
Yeah, the worst case scenario, if I get it wrong, I can come back next week and start over again.
Always have the silver lining there, right? You know, this
can't go down now. It's only up from here.
That's right. So we'll wait for that and hopefully have that be a good finish to the show and a good finish to the week.
Indeed.
Also, at some point today, you're going to have to come in here because you have C sitting across from me. I brought in some Christmas cookies today. And I'm going to have to give you a Christmas cookie before you have your number for the day quiz and see if that is the magic touch. Yeah, I went shopping after work yesterday. And I was not planning on buying them, but I happened to walk by. And I was like, oh. And it, you know, what actually helped me make the decision is if you look at the price tag here, it has the normal price is $5.99, but they were $2 off. So I said, I can't afford not to buy my Christmas cookies being a $2 off.
It's actually not a bad deal.
And also real fast. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm going to save this other story for a little later in the hour because it's going to be something that talks about inflation, talks about prices, talks about misconceptions as well. So I want to save it for a little bit later on. But at some point here, either in the next break or the break at the bottom of the hour, you have to come in here. I haven't even opened them up yet. They're still. I didn't have any last night when I went home. I was going to, but I decided I made my dinner. Then I really wasn't hungry the rest of the evening. So they have been sealed, so they're still fresh. And okay, we will have you get a Christmas cookie for luck, so we can help get you over the hump with the number for the day quiz coming up. Also, tonight we have high school boys basketball as the Newman Cardinals will play host to the Marathon Red Raiders. We will have that one live right here, hopefully by that point, on 98.9 WXCO and 1230 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. 7 o'clock for the pregame show. Actually, we're going at 6:50 because these are two of our teams. Normally, I do one pregame interview, so I'm going to do two pregame interviews with both of the coaches. So we're going to have a bit of a longer pregame. So it'll be 6:50 for the pregame, 7:15 for the opening tip. Newman and Marathon, high school boys basketball tonight here on WXCO. And then tomorrow, we have the Central Wisconsin Storm. The Storm will be at Eau Claire taking on the ECA Stars. 5:20 for the pregame, 5:30 for the opening faceoff. So Storm hockey tomorrow right here on 98.9 and 1230 WXCO, WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. So I heard Pat Kreitlow talking at the end of his show. He was saying, Chad Holmes is probably getting a break right now. Probably no games before Christmas. No. Tonight, tomorrow, and Monday, too. So no rest for the wearies, but it's a fun kind of weary. So coming up, we're going to find out about the weather after all this snow. How much snow did we get? What can we expect weather-wise this weekend? We'll be talking to Brittany Merlot coming up next, and then Mike Clemens coming up at 8:34. A lot to come here on 98.9 and 1230 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:22 currently, fair skies in downtown Wausau. 17 degrees is the temperature. Well, the snow is covering the ground now. Got the snow that we talked about yesterday right through the morning, through the afternoon, into the evening. Now things have calmed down, and hopefully things will be much nicer for the weekend that is coming up. And now to find out all about the weather, we're joined by our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. And Brittany, good morning.
Good morning, Chad. Oh, it's a beautiful one. You can see just with the sunshine sparkling that snow. It's like little ice crystals everywhere. Glitter. It's lit up. I love it. It's beautiful. Winter wonderland.
And we do finally can look out the window and see some snow on the ground. Not just a little snow where it's, you can still see the grass coming up through the snow, which is what we've seen. Right. I think the first couple of times we had any kind of snow, but actually snow covering the ground and a real snow cover here on the 20th of December. Do you have any numbers on how much snow we ultimately got here in central Wisconsin?
Yeah, so yesterday before I went to bed, I was measuring 2 inches of snowfall. And then this morning I woke up and I got another inch. So we definitely picked up at least 3 inches. Reports from other people are coming in around 2.7 or so, and then a little bit less than that. But off towards Medford, they had 5 inches of snowfall. So we didn't get as much as I had forecasted, what the National Weather Service was saying, what the winter storm warning was saying, putting it right through us. What ended up happening was what the models were saying a few days before, when we were talking about how I thought it was going to slide to the south. Just like last year, a bunch of the snowstorms took that same exact path, and that's exactly what this one did too. But it was an interesting one because the path of heavy accumulations was very, very small. Usually we see them much wider. But hey, you know, Monroe, La Crosse, Buffalo counties, they picked up over a half of a foot. And then the lake effect snow just ramping up across Lake Michigan and those towns, near a foot of snowfall for them. So parts of the state definitely getting hit and still getting hit this morning. There's still winter storm warnings into Door County, the Fox Valley, and all along Lake Michigan, not to mention winter weather advisories along Lake Superior. So the lake effect's still going, but the rest of us, nice and sunny and calmer and crashing cold. In fact, our temperatures today, we're sitting at our highs right now into those mid to upper 20s, and then we're going to be sliding to the single digits overnight tonight, which means tomorrow we're stuck with highs in just the teens. So quite crisp. But I know that a lot of those anglers, ice fishermen, ready to get outside and enjoy that this weekend. But with the added snowfall, it's like insulation on that ice. So be careful.
Absolutely. And but it looks like anybody that's doing their holiday traveling early, if using the weekend to get wherever they're going to be for either Christmas Eve on Tuesday or Christmas Day on Wednesday, for the most part, it should be pretty easy driving for the next couple of days.
Yeah, that's a relief. Usually I'm talking about hazardous holiday travel, big storms. No, so it was nice to kind of get it out of the way before the big travel. This weekend, very dry, very sunny. Nothing is going to be stopping us up until about Monday. So if you're planning to travel on Monday, maybe rethink that just a little bit, because we are looking at a system pushing in, bringing a wintry mix. Especially south of Highway 29, you're looking at more of a sleet icing potential and then rain far, far south. But north of 29, hopefully it stays just all snow. Again, this is Monday, probably about 1 to 2 inches of snowfall accumulation here into the Wausau area.
I know you were talking as well, as we got towards Christmas Day itself, that a bit of a warm stretch was going to be hitting us. Is it going to be so warm that this snow is going to be gone before Christmas?
You know, it's kind of an interesting thing. So we stay below freezing for the entire weekend. We climb to the upper 20s on Sunday. Then on Monday, we're going to hit the low 30s, flirting with that freezing mark, which is why that wintry mix is going to be just south of us. And then Christmas Day, we're looking at highs above freezing into the mid-30s. So some melting definitely starting. And here's the thing. It's going to be melting. The roads are going to be wet, or sidewalks or things. And then we're going to drop below freezing. So it's going to refreeze, giving us icy mornings. So expect that from Christmas Day and through the rest of the week, as our temperatures, yes, will be hitting near 40 degrees by Thursday and into Friday. And here's the thing. You can't get that warm without a system somewhere near it. And the models are just starting to pop up a Christmas Day storm, which would be more into the day, into the evening on Wednesday and into Thursday, which could bring an ice event to northern Wisconsin. So I just want to throw that out there in case you were wondering or traveling or making those plans that Monday is not the best day to be driving and Wednesday might not be either.
All righty. So, yeah, that definitely is something that we're going to keep an eye on as we get closer and closer to that. Okay, what are the details as we head towards the weekend?
Yes, yes. Beautiful sunshine. High temperatures today. Not too bad. We're sitting in them right now. We'll be falling to the single digits overnight tonight. Tomorrow's highs only into the teens, falling back below and into the single digits overnight tomorrow night. And we are looking at upper 20s for Sunday. And then Monday, that wintry mix possibly south of us. A little bit of snow accumulation here for us. And we are going to be warming up as we go into next week.
Fantastic. Well, enjoy it. I imagine you're going to take some advantage of the snow this weekend, aren't you?
Oh, being on the ground. Absolutely. Before it melts, I have to.
You've been waiting and waiting and waiting for it. So I know a lot of other people as well. So, Brittany, again, thanks for the information. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll catch you on Monday.
Bye,
Brittany. Sounds good. You too. Bye.
That's our Brittany Merlot, meteorologist, joins us at 8:21 every morning here on the Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO. Right now in downtown Wausau, corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street, fair skies, some cloud cover right now as I look outside, 17 degrees. The winds northwest at 12 miles per hour, so the wind chill factor is 4. Dew point at 12, relative humidity of 80%, the barometer at 30.29 inches, and a visibility of 10 miles. The time is 8:28. Coming up next, we will have an information update, and that will be followed by Mike Clemens. We'll talk plenty of sports with Mike coming up. I'm Chad Holmes with Ian Welsh. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. It is Friday morning. Downtown Wausau, 17 degrees is the temperature. The snow has stopped, but a pleasant start. Chilly start, but a pleasant start as we get set for the weekend. And one of the great things about Friday is getting an opportunity to talk to our 98.9 WXCO and Civic Media sports reporter, Mike Clemens. Mike, his fingers in everything that's going on in sports. It's a very busy time in sports. And Mike, first of all, thanks for coming back on and good morning.
You bet. How are you doing, Chad?
Doing pretty good. And again, there's a lot happening right now in sports with basketball now into the, you know, basically the unofficial start of the NBA season always tends to be Christmas. But now they've added the NBA Emirates Cup, and the Milwaukee Bucks are able to fly a banner as they were very impressive in Vegas earlier in the week, beating Oklahoma City. My question to you is, who are the real Milwaukee Bucks? Is it the one that started off so poorly, or is it the one that's been playing so well for the last, 15 games or so?
Well, I think it's, you know, what you're seeing, and, you know, they get off to this 1-6 start, and you and I were talking about that, and that's, you know, there's a lot you couldn't figure out, except at the end of the day, you know, I just said, they look slow.
Yep.
And we have to realize that this isn't the team that I was referring to in my reports now 5 years ago as the Young Bucks, because they were running and gunning it up and down the court, you know. But Giannis just turned 30. And you know, and then so after you get a month or two into it and the roster sort of settled down, you heard during the broadcast the other night, technically I think they've got one of the oldest or the oldest roster in the NBA right now. And they're playing the youngest roster in the NBA in the Oklahoma City Thunder. But, you know, Doc Rivers was stressing with these guys, you're not going to beat people with speed. You've got to move the ball around. You've got to pass it around. You've got to set up and look for open shots. And it took them a while, I think, to find that rhythm. But now it's working. And you see, you know, you saw Giannis not only, you know, using his body to block shots and to, you know, stretch and whatever, but he also made some pretty incredible passes as well, and you know, kind of confused that young Thunder team. So they end up beating the number one team right now in the Western Conference, OKC. It was a 97-81 decisive win, and to win this NBA Cup. All those players get over $500,000. And, you know, people are kind of groaning like, well, you know, Giannis makes $50 million a year, so you got to pay him, you know, $500,000 to show up for one night. And I thought Giannis made an excellent point for this whole NBA Cup program, which is, you know, a way to try and boost ratings during the football season and bring in extra revenue to the league with all that Emirates Airlines, which is out of Dubai, to advertise. It's an international airline. They want to get some more customers going in the United States. So there's all that money that's involved in it. But, you know, he said, we've got some rookies on the team, but we don't know if they're ever going to make it in the NBA.
Right.
And I told the one kid that, you know, he could now go buy a house in Iowa with that $500,000 that we just won him. And so that, when you hear stories like that, it's like, okay, all right, I'm good with that.
And it seems like Giannis always seems to get it, doesn't he?
He does.
I mean,
I mean, there's stories that I hear that he's still kind of a prima donna, and, you know, he sort of picked that he wanted to have Damian Lillard on his team, you know, a touch of Aaron Rodgers, but they're all that way. You know, as a matter of fact, to me, it's Aaron Rodgers is following the lead of LeBron and some of these other NBA stars that say, why can't I decide or pick, you know, I have on my team once I get to a certain status? So the Bucks are going to be tonight now. They got another tough game. They're playing the Cavaliers. Cavaliers are in first place in their conference, in the Eastern Conference. Cavaliers are 23-4. 23-4. The Bucks are 14-11, and they're going to be in Cleveland tonight taking them on.
The first two times they met when the Bucks were going through that early slump, they actually played Cleveland exceptionally well. They lost on a Donovan Mitchell shot with less than a second ago by one the first time around. Then they played two nights later in Cleveland, and the Bucks, even without Giannis, had the lead in that game. So I don't know whether it's the matchup or whether or not it's just the Bucks were ready to go, and they seemed to rise to the occasion, I think, at least early in the season against some of the top teams. This could be a good opportunity.
There was that one quote that I played a couple weeks ago from Giannis after they had won a game, and where he said, how many games are left? 67? Okay, we've got 67 games left. There's plenty of time for us to turn this thing around. And he was right. He was right. And then some of the guys that they've brought on, like in free agents, like Torian Prince, now he seems to be in rhythm and playing with them. And, you know, they're playing. It turns out some of the stuff that Doc Rivers was telling them, like, you've got to move the ball more. You can't just run up and down the court, take shots, and if you three out of five of you are cold that night, you know, then we're just going to have turnovers all night, and we're going to, you know, lose by 20 points. So they've bought in. It seems like they've bought in, or they've been able to live up to what he wants to do on how to control a game.
As somebody that grew up with the Milwaukee Bucks, and they were my team when I was single digits, and my broadcast hero was Eddie Doucette. Remember listening to him on the radio, and I remember the great teams of the late 70s and throughout the 1980s. I see a note that, and I have to admit, I did not see who the names are. I don't know who they are, but you say that four Milwaukee Bucks, and I imagine they're people that I remember have been nominated for the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame.
Starts with one of Don Nelson's favorite players, Marcus Johnson.
Yeah.
Played 11 years with the team and now is the analyst on the TV broadcast. His name has been put in. Now, these are nominees. They're not going in yet, you know, but their names are being mentioned. Terry Cummings, who's now been a coach, he played for 18 years.
Who they traded for Marcus Johnson for.
Oh, good recall. That's right. That's
yep.
Right. I forgot about
that. Massive. I remember that trade. That was massive back in the day.
Yeah, Terry played for 6 years with the Bucks in his, you know, sort of tour around the NBA. John McLaughlin.
Oh,
John. The 1971 championship.
Mm.
He's been nominated as an NBA contributor, you know, all those years I think he was with the Bucks 8 of his 11 years on the team, and then, you know, broadcaster for 35 years, Mr. Buckdick.
Yep.
And he started the MAC Fund.
Yeah.
Raising over $50 million for child research cancer in the Milwaukee area. He's nominee. And then Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers, a nominee. He was on a list 2 years ago as one of the top 15 coaches of all time in the NBA, with over 1,000 games that he's coached, took the Celtics and won a title. 2008, I think that was. So Doc Rivers is one of the guys that actually could be in the Hall of Fame. They're gonna come up with a list of finalists the weekend of the All-Star break in February, and then the actual inductees will be named in April.
Badgers men's basketball. They got off to the incredibly fast start. Then they had that, I would call it, I don't know, inexplicable, maybe too strong of a word, that loss to Michigan that started a three-game losing streak. Had a good win last weekend against Butler. Seems like that's kind of starting them back on the right track. What's happening with Bucky on the hardwood?
Yeah, the Badgers men's basketball team start out to 8-0. They had one significant win when they beat number 9th-ranked Arizona. And the Badgers got ranked as high as 11th in the AP Top 25. Then they went through those three losses that you mentioned. They've now been dropped out of the AP Top 25. They're not even ranked anymore. You know, Greg Gard was pretty candid after one of those losses, where at the end he kind of called out his center, Stephen Crowell, who I think had no rebounds that night. And that, you know, so we're going to have to make some changes there. Well, Crowell now has had put together back-to-back good games. And then Greg had him, you know, talk to the media. And the kid said, yeah, you know, I want to thank my teammates, I want to thank my coaches. For whatever reason, whether it was his preparation off the court or effort during the game or whatever, he's turned it around. And it's a pretty impressive, you know, Greg is an intense dude, but nobody cares more. He shows patience. He's a grinder. He is such a grinder. And, you know, he was able to show how, you know, a kid that he's had there now in the program for a couple of years, able to turn him around and get things going. Now, they got what should be an easy game. They're going to play the Detroit Mercy Titans at the Kohl Center on Sunday. The Titans are just 5-8 so far. Badgers are now 9-3. That's 1 o'clock tip-off time Sunday afternoon in Madison.
Busy time in football, even though the Badgers have been done and the bowl games are just starting and the playoff is coming, because everybody every day is watching that scroll of transfer portal moves, and nobody stays the same. You either get better, you get worse. Getting into, I think, some important seasons, maybe next year and the year after, especially in the next 2 years, to see if Luke Fickell can turn things around. What is the net feel about the Badgers in the transfer portal early on?
I've been watching that ticker that you're mentioning, and I don't know how you're a head coach in college football right now. I mean, literally, there's a revolving door that's been built on your program. So, you know, your quarterback, who you spend all that time recruiting to come to Wisconsin, Tyler Van Dyke, then he suffers a torn ACL, you know, week 4. So then you put in the backup, Braden Locke, and he finishes out the season. But then, you know, you just don't like what your offense is doing, so you fire Phil Longbow, your offensive coordinator, who, by the way, got hired this week from Sam Houston University, which is where he'd been before as a coordinator. Now,
a bowl team, by the way. They won their bowl game last night.
Yeah, yeah, you know, he's going to be named the new head coach down there. So, you know, that means that, well, they loved him. You know, they've had good times with him. So both those quarterbacks announced, yeah, we're quitting. We're gonna transfer. We'll see if we'll go someplace else. Then I thought the most reliable receiver they had this past season, Will Pauling, he's now entered the transfer portal. So all these guys are leaving. They've even had guys that they've been talking to for a year or two in high school that committed to them a year ago, and they're entering the transfer portal. And at the same time, you're stealing players. You know, Jaden Ballard is a wide receiver for the Ohio State Buckeyes. He's coming to Madison because probably, you know, their roster is so stacked, and he thinks, I got a better chance of catching passes for the Badgers. And they picked up two quarterbacks, a kid out of San Diego State who says, yeah, I'll play in the Big Ten, Danny O'Neill. And then Billy Edwards is leaving Maryland. He's 6'3", and he's going to be coming. So they've got a new offensive coordinator in this Jeff Grimm. But It's amazing that you even now have to worry about high school commitments that you've been working on for the last year or two that are now changed, that have the freedom to say, I've changed my mind, I'm not committed. Because, you know, they're waiting for a better money deal, you know, maybe a better opportunity with the program. Boy, it's crazy.
We just got a couple of minutes left, and we haven't even touched on the Pack yet, who are obviously pushing their way towards the postseason. Big win in Seattle last week. They're getting set for a Monday night affair at Lambeau against the Saints. It's been interesting listening to your cuts from Matt LaFleur. What's your take on the coach right now?
You know what? There's like a little Dan Campbell in him yesterday. Somebody said, hey, but you know, you've been electing to receive. Like on Sunday night, what was great about that game was the Packers go in there, the visitors, they call the coin toss, they get it right, they elect to receive. Keyshawn Nixon has a 37-yard kickoff return, and then the Packers just drive it down the throats of the Seattle defense, you know, front four, with 10 plays, 9 of them to Josh Jacobs, run plays and a couple of pass plays, and they score. He scores on a touchdown. It's like they take complete control of the game, and LaFleur was asked, so, you know, is that analytics? I mean, why have you decided to go with as a receiver? And he says, you know why? I go with my gut. He points to his gut right here, like a little Dan Campbell in him. He goes, it's a gut decision. Really? I mean, I'm telling you, it's a gut decision. He told us a couple of weeks ago that analytics say it's really only about a 2% difference whether you defer or kick anyway. But he says, I watch the players warm up. I talk to them about it, what's their feeling, and, you know, sort of get a commitment. But he says right before the coin toss, he makes his decision. If we win, we want to receive. We want the football. So I thought that was interesting. There was this other really strange story. There's this new Aaron Rodgers documentary called Enigma, and it talks about, you know, Aaron's life off the field. He's in a jungle in Costa Rica, you know, with paint and everything. Anyway, this story said that LaFleur said that Ted Thompson had to do with getting Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and Jordan Love to Green Bay. And it's like LaFleur said, that's not what I said. I said what Ted Thompson did by bringing in Aaron Rodgers, that led us to be smart and to get Jordan Love.
Interesting stuff indeed. One quick question, this real quick answer. Minnesota or Detroit, who's going to win the division?
I'll still go with Detroit, even though they lost David Montgomery. That's a great running back. Yep. Had so many injuries, but I'll take Dan Campbell.
Interesting, because, they are just injury ravaged, and I'm starting to wonder about them a little bit. But we'll talk more about that next week. Mike, hey, enjoy the weekend. Enjoy Monday Night Football, and we'll catch you again next week.
I'm in Green Bay. I got to go shovel out my car now.
There you go. Mike Clemens, our sports guru from 98.9 and Civic Media. We'll be right back here on WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Again, glad you'd be with us. Some issues with our 98.9 transmitter. It's being worked on. I don't believe it's on yet, but we're on 1230 AM. We're still online at WXCO.FM. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. One of the big stories that a lot of folks are keeping an eye on is, will we get a deal to avoid a federal government shutdown? We've had two different agreements or proposals that we thought were going to maybe get through from Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, but First time around, Elon Musk decided, nope, we are not going to do that. So then all of a sudden, all the Republicans scurried away from the deal, the bipartisan deal that Johnson had made with the Democrats. Then yesterday, a second Mike Johnson proposal got shot down in a vote. So now it's number three. And if they don't do it by the end of today at midnight, there will be a government shutdown going right into Christmas. And
I really hope that third time's the charm here. Well, I don't want to have another shutdown.
Well, it comes down to it better be the right one, because we're not going to let Elon Musk run the government. In fact, one of the aspects...
He has no position being in politics either.
...of the proposal that was put out by the Republicans, Elon Musk told Republicans to slash $200 million for childhood cancer research. It was a program that was created with bipartisan support under President Obama. And Elon Musk told Republicans, as part of the continuing resolution bill, and that's what they're trying to do, get a continuing resolution to keep the government open. Part of that bill, Elon Musk, the world's richest man, more than $400 billion he is worth. And he has said, cut $200 million for childhood cancer research out of this bill. He is a horrible human being. Bottom line.
That is shameful.
And again, I have no reason not to believe what I heard this morning on Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, because he's very accurate with his statements. He was talking to Mark Jacob and mentioned that one of Elon Musk's goals is in his life? Not to eradicate cancer, not to do something wonderfully good for everybody else. His goal is to become the first person worth $1 trillion. That's his goal. That's why he's trying to, you know, basically run the government. This man needs to be stopped. And I was very happy to see a story from one of the top Democrats in the United States Senate, Patty Murray. She's a longtime Democratic senator from the state of Washington, chair of the Senate Appropriations Committee.
What did she say?
She said in a statement yesterday she is willing to stay in Washington through Christmas to work on a spending bill and avoid a shutdown of the federal government. And she said the reason is to avoid letting Elon Musk run the government. Democrats have been quick to highlight Musk's prominent role in the negotiations and have sought to portray him rather than President-elect Donald Trump as the real power broker in the plan. Musk was among the loudest voices who urged House Republicans to oppose the initial spending deal that had been negotiated by the House Speaker Mike Johnson and the Democrats. That spending bill included funding and policy provisions that Democrats said was key to earning their support. And again, when you have almost an even balance in the House, you have to have a negotiation. You cannot have everything that you want. Not everything that the Democrats want is in this continuing resolution. Not everything that the Republicans want should be in this continuing resolution. But Elon Musk went out on his social media platform, X, and said that anybody that voted for that deal between Mike Johnson and the Democrats should be removed from office, and that he would help do it in 2 years' time with his massive, massive amounts of money. And Patty Murray said, put simply, we should not let an unelected billionaire rip away research from pediatric cancer so he can get a tax cut or tear down policies that help America outcompete China because it could hurt his bottom line. We had a bipartisan deal, Murray said. We should stick to it. The Trump-backed bill did cut nearly $200 million that Democrats and Republicans had agreed to for pediatric cancer research. So you think about where you're going to cut. And the thing about it is, we are exactly 1 month away, 1 month away from Inauguration Day.
We are.
It is the 20th of December. January the 20th is when Donald Trump will get in front of the Capitol, put his hand on the Bible, and swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. You know what one of the first things he's going to do is? Well, a couple of things. He's going to try to round
tariffs is one thing.
Round up all the people and send them out of the country, like he said he would. Talked about tariffs. But also, you know, one of the first things that him and his Republican buddies are going to do, massive tax cuts for people like Elon Musk. They should not be cutting pediatric cancer research to give Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, and the rest of those filthy rich another tax cut.
They
but that's what they're going to do.
Money. They don't need any more money, people. We need to realize that.
8:58. We're going to get the latest update on what's going on in Washington in terms of the government potential shutdown. Information update, and then our number two of the program coming up next. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.